Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Nzuri Moyo Mbaye, and it means beautiful heart that sings.
And I am Jehuti Sehotep, which means one who makes peace of mind by reconciling the opposites.
Welcome to Souling with Nzuri and Jehuti. Good evening, and thank you for stopping by and souling with us this evening. Tonight, we are celebrating the launch of Souling with Nzuri and Jehuti, the place where we connect with you by souling. I am Nzuri Moyo Mbaye, live and in the flesh, and we are healing through the sound of music, a 501c3 non-for-profit music and theatrical production company. So, let's get a little acquainted, shall we? Here's a little bit about me.
When Nzuri sings, God smiles and angels flap their wings. Born in Paterson, New Jersey, Nzuri Moyo Mbaye is an internationally acclaimed vocalist, actress, and multi-award-winning playwright of the Fannie Lou Hamer story, One Woman Play, receiving the highest accolades of her peers in black theater, the Adelko Viv Award. Her talents combine the presence of a movie star with the booming vocal range and versatility of an opera singer that has been enthusiastically received on cabaret and concert stages both nationally and internationally. She lived and sang briefly in Paris and Rome, and upon returning from Europe, she trained as an actress at HB Studio, New York City, performing in small productions in New York and New Jersey area, and then was cast as Lucy for the cultural film Sankofa. She has also wrote and performed a song and short play for the historic installment of The Bust of Sojourner Truth in Constitution Hall, Washington, D.C. New York City Symphony Music Director David Eaton selected Ms. Mbaye to sing her classic healing song, Still I Rise, to the ambassadors of the world for the United Nations 10th year commemoration of 9/11 for the victims of 9/11. Nzuri was the first artist to sweep the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, held at the Ray Charles Performing Arts Center, Morehouse College, winning an unprecedented 3 awards: Best Pay, Best Artist, and Best Producer. Nzuri Moyo Mbaye is Ki Swahili, and it means beautiful heart that sings.
She was only 67 years old. Now no one will ever get to hear the stories she could have told, and no, her grandchildren won't get to hear her sing. None of us are. Because she was shot up by the New York City police like she had done something wrong. You see, they all done called me from my grave, and they just won't let me rest. They say, Fannie Lou, we think you got something to say. We think you need to tell them about the struggle that we live. Said that y'all never forget why y'all is, where y'all is. And I just want to sing it.
Oh,
Thank you. Bow. Enough. Sit down. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, that's my rendition of the battle hymn from my one-woman play, The Fannie Lou Hamer Story. But you know what? I want to introduce my boo, my co-host, my honeydew this, my honeydew that.
And your honey give you a radio station, give you a radio program.
Yes, baby. Well, Dehuti Sehotep is his name, and it means divine intellect. He's a seasoned business development consultant. I have to vouch for that, because when we met, how many years ago is it now? 8 years ago, my business was, it wasn't really a business yet, but it was Healing Through the Sound of Music. He has over 25 years of diverse business experience. He's among three generations of U.S. veterans. He's a veteran, his son's a veteran, and his veteran, he was killed in action in Vietnam. Judy is an Air Force veteran and holds an MBA from Texas Women's University, and he has a BA in psychology from Columbia College in Missouri, and a minor in mental health social work from Tarrant County College, because he's always playing with my mind, y'all, okay? He's into the psychology, all right? Through his distinguished career, Mr. Hotep has served in a wide range of professional roles, leveraging his sales and marketing skills, and boy, can this man sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. This man can sell, okay? So I can vouch for that as well. He has, for my company, completely turned it around. I didn't even have a company. He's built it from the ground up. He served as stage manager. He served as lighting. He served as helping me with my costume. Oh, gosh, what else? Not quite makeup, because I don't really do much makeup. But from anything that you can name, directing, he's helped me direct the play. There's just so many things that I can't say that the show would not be where it is. The Fannie Lou Hamer Story would not be where it is without Dehuti Sehotep, my husband, my friend, my life partner. And I want to give him a big round of applause.
Well, babe, thank you. Thank you so much. For the kindness and making it possible for me to serve. Go ahead. What you about to say?
Well, I just wanted to talk about, are we going to talk about Solon? You're going to give the definition of Solon now?
Yeah, I think it's the right time and space to provide some understanding as to how we arrived at this word Solon, right? So that we all have a common understanding of it. So let's share a common understanding according to Webster's Dictionary.
Solon is compassion towards oneself and others. It is a compound word consisting of the words soul and in, used as a verb to denote positive action. Now, according to Merriam-Webster and Cambridge dictionaries, soul is understood to be a noun or an adjective. Soul as a noun is defined as the spiritual or immaterial part of a human being or an animal, regarded as immortal. Also, a person's moral or emotional nature or sense of identity. Secondly, soul is the emotional or intellectual energy or intensity, especially as revealed in a work of art or an artistic performance. Third, soul is a strong positive feeling, as of intense sensitivity and emotional fervor, conveyed especially by African or Black American performers. Fourth, soul is a cultural consciousness and pride among people of African heritage, such as soul music, soul food, soul brother. And fifth, soul is a person that shows affection or pity, thus compassion, which means a sympathetic consciousness for others' distress, with a desire to alleviate it. In is to denote being enclosed or surrounded by, or in our case, to denote direction, as to say inner versus outer or inside versus outside. Thus, souling is compassion towards oneself and others.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
There we are. There we are.
Beautiful.
So we're souling. We're souling.
We are
we're showing...
souling tonight up in here. And actually, the opening song is entitled Souling. And we're going to tell you why we named the show after that. Jehudi's going to, after the song. So I hope you enjoyed it. I recorded it many years ago. It was written and produced by our guest that's coming in, David Eaton, tonight. We're flying him in on our private jet from South Korea.
He fly out of here. Really?
He's going to be walking in the studio any minute. Okay, I'm joking.
Well,
okay, I'm joking.
I guess of sort, but not actually flying in, of course.
But he is going to join us via phone from South Korea. It's already Thursday morning, believe it or not, in South Korea. And he's going to be on the second half of the show, so stick around. You're in for a treat. And I really hope that you enjoyed that battle hymn. That is the opening song for my one-woman play, The Fannie Lou Hamer Story. Has anybody seen that? So I've been doing it now for 20 years. I wrote it and won the Adelco Award a year after I wrote it in 2001. I won Best Solo Performance, my first influence was the queen of all queens, and that's Miss Cicely Tyson. We want to take a moment to honor this great artist, this great African-American woman of West Indian background. She was an amazing human being, and I got a chance to meet her and actually be almost in the same green room with her. But I can tell you, I remember as a kid watching Miss Jane Pittman, the story of Miss Jane Pittman. It was about Jim Crow, how blacks were not allowed to, you know, drink out the same water fountain, go to the same bathroom, sit at the back of the bus. So Miss Jane Pittman was about a woman who lived through slavery and lived to go and drink out of that water fountain. And she was a young woman when she did this role. But let me tell you, I was in awe when she transformed into the 100-year-old woman. I mean, I wanted that so bad. I wanted to learn how to do that. I wanted to know how I could be an actress to do that. And here, how many years later, I am performing the Fannie Lou Hamer Story, where I transform into Fannie Lou Hamer, and people tell me that, you know, they go, it's amazing transformation.
Yeah.
Guess why? Guess why,
you get,
honey?
You get similar reactions from the audience when you're totally, you know, when you're fully in costume, and then when you come back and do your costume change. And do your talk back with the audience for our town hall discussion. People are amazed, the expressions on their faces, the same way that you describe your impression of Miss Cicely Tyson in her portrayal of Miss Jane Pittman. The audience reacts to you when you come out because they can't believe it's the same person. They just can't believe it's the same person. And it is, people are awestruck by it. But there's some other similarities that you and Miss Cicely Tyson share.
And that was when you both shared the same space for the installment of the Sojourner Truth bust in Constitution Hall, because she performed in one phase of that installment, and you served and was asked by, I'll let you tell the story, but you were tasked to write a short song and play to prepare for the installment, and then she performed also. Am I correct in that? Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Yes, Dr.
This is during
Williams.
The time of President Obama, and so
yes.
So the First Lady Michelle Obama was present for that.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. I did get to see Mrs. Obama in person. Yes, I did. Yeah, and the performance was in the hall, and Miss Tyson did "Ain't I a Woman," and afterwards at the luncheon, Dr. Williams asked me, Dr. Ife, as I call her, I lovingly call my friend, would I do a play on Sojourner, which I wrote, and my girlfriend Arlene, she's with the Angels now, who was from Anguilla, helped me with my Dutch accent, because Sojourner Truth had her first language was Dutch. And so I developed the character from the linguistic point of view as speaking a Dutch. So my girlfriend helped me with that. And then I wrote a song called "I'm a Royal Woman." Oh, gosh, I can still remember that. And so myself and Miss Tyson, my mom was still alive. We were in the same space, as you say, together. And, you know, I think back on that, and I was intimidated by her, because I found out last week when I saw Gayle King do an interview of her, she was shy. She was very shy. So I was a little nervous, you know, to say the least. I mean, she was my idol, my acting idol is who I wanted to be. People told me I look like her. And so I saw her one day coming from church, Abyssinia. Everybody knows that's where she went. And I was following behind her, and she had a lovely figure, fabulous figure. She had to be in her 70s then. And I said to her, I said, Miss Tyson, I said, your cousin, whose name was Edgar Swanston, I said, Mr. Swanston, your cousin plays for me. And she says, who, Edgar? That beautiful voice of hers. And I didn't say anything else. You know how it is, you know, when you with someone, not just an actress, but an activist, because that's really what I wanted to be, an activist. And Cicely Tyson represented that for me. And the other question, babe, is who does Broadway up until they're 92 years old?
Well, that is only a goddess. In fact, that's worthy of a... of praise and adoration. Indeed.
Yeah, she was really special. So I know you had something in mind for Miss Tyson as well. I want to stand back and let my honeydew do his thing.
Well, before I do, I'd like for you to share with our audience a conversation that you had, interview with Dr. Ife Williams, founder and president of the Women of Black the name of the organization?
The National Congress of Black Women.
National Congress of Black Women. And so tell the story about who she is and the fact that what she made, statements she made about you and Ms. Tyson.
Yes, Dr. Ife Williams has her Stay Woke program on Wednesdays on WPFW in D.C. And as usual, when I call her, she's always there for me. And I asked her, told her about the launching tonight of Solon, with Mzuri and Jehudi, and she said, of course, come on. And so she said, we'd like to talk about Miss Tyson, you know. So I said, absolutely, you know, she's my idol. When I was young and saw Miss Jane Pittman, that's what gave me my, you know, my guts to try it. And so she said to me afterwards, she said at the end of the interview, she said, Mzuri, have you considered doing Miss Tyson? And I said, Dr. Ife, really? Me? She said, absolutely, you can do it. And I'm here. I'm going to support you in that. I'm putting it out there. And so it went out over the airwaves that Dr. Ife Williams, who was really, really good buddies with Cicely Tyson, said I could do her. Oh, my God. Do you know what that does to me? I'm honored. I'm honored. So somebody out there, let's get busy on the script, even though we're doing the rewrites on Fannie Lou Hamer, because we're going to be doing the show at the Wayne Dench Performing Arts Center here in Sanford, July 17th and 18th. But I am so honored to, you know, do anything around Cicely Tyson. I have plans for her spirit. Her spirit has not left us. Just the physical form has left. We get our share of time here in the physical form, and then we march on to other things that we have to do that don't require us to be in a physical form, but our spirit. And what's so important is what we leave behind, and what she's left behind is great, and we can expound upon that. All the young people should watch her movie. Watch the movie Sounder. I'm watching it now after 40 years. I don't think I could watch it when I was younger. It would probably have been too painful. It's right now when I'm watching it. I have to hold on to something, you know, to see how human beings treated each other, you know. So watch Sounder. Watch the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. You know, the story goes on and on and on about all the great work that she did that made us proud of her. Enough about Miss Tyson?
That is awesome. Well, I tell you, we've got a very special tribute for Miss Cicely Tyson, and it mirrors her in a way that honors the goddess that she is. And we'll begin with our special segment that we entitled Good Food for the Soul. Good food for the soul. Some might say soul food.
Soling is a recently created compound English word whose etymology is derived from the far reaches of antiquity of the oldest known and longest continuously running culture and civilization in human history, indigenously known as ancient Kemet, land of the black or black land, but renamed Egypt in 332 BCE by Alexander the Macedonian, aka the Great. The Kemetans enjoyed a long, illustrious, high culture spanning many thousands of years long before the European occupation, robbing and pillaging sacred burial sites and claiming and representing the ancient Kemetic legacy in modern academia as their very own. Today, Kemetans are mostly remembered by the colonizers' renaming of them ancient Egyptians, losing the energy of its indigenous vibrational meaning and frequency. The Kemetans recognize every person, whether priesthood or everyday people of society, as Asar, which means eternal soul. They honored every member of their society as expressions of the eternal soul, which developed into an epic myth or story, portraying the journey of the soul, transcending time, whose influence is present with us today. It is known as the Osirian resurrection.
And now we'll have a special tribute to Miss Cicely Tyson.
I could not ask for anything better than this.
Gratitude, graciousness, and grit. Three words which describe the fabric that is
Cicely Tyson.
As one of President Obama's last official acts of office, he awarded the 92 years young actress and activist the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And for good reason, because more than an award-winning actress, Cicely is a groundbreaking cultural luminary, paving the way for a generation who walk behind. Duly noted when she received a Kennedy Center honor in 2015.
I would not exist if it were not for Cicely Tyson. She has taught me so much about how to be who I am in this business and in this life.
After witnessing certain things, after experiencing certain things in my career, I realized that I could not afford the luxury of just being an actress. There were certain issues that I wanted to address, and I chose my career as my platform.
Wow.
Miss Cicely Tyson.
Wow, beautiful.
The goddess of theater. Indeed. Indeed.
Yes. We honor and salute you. Okay,
And lastly, we would like to close our tribute to Miss Tyson with the way the ancients would celebrate and honor the spirit of Miss Cicely Tyson, honoring her as Osar, the eternal soul, as an expression of Osar, the eternal soul. The way the ancient Kemetans would, were she in that day and time.
Facing death and uncovering its mystery is the most important task for every spiritual aspirant. This is because the fear of death and the sorrow caused by disease, old age, and death typify the pain, misery, and frustrations of life. Therefore, conquering death means conquering life. Reading from the book of Coming Forth by Day. Hail, ye gods and goddesses who cause perfected souls to go into the house of Osar. Allow the soul of this follower of Osar, which is found to be righteous and free from all wrongdoing, wrong thinking, and wrong speaking, who is already one with Osar, to enter into Osar's house. Let Osar Cicely Tyson hear as you hear. May Osar Cicely Tyson see the things that you can see. Let Osar Cicely Tyson stand up as you stand up, and may Osar Cicely Tyson sit as you sit. O you exalted ones who give food and drink to the perfected souls who dwell in the house of Osar, give food and drink to this Osar Cicely Tyson, whose heart is pure and vindicated before the gods and goddesses and before you as well. Hail to you who open the ways and roads to spiritual fulfillment for the perfected souls who dwell in the house of Osar. Open up a way for Osar Cicely Tyson. Open up a road for this soul of Osar Cicely Tyson, who is righteous with you. May this Osar enter into the house of Osar with fearlessness, and may Osar Cicely Tyson come forth with contentment. May there be no opposition to Asar Cicely Tyson, and let there not be any repulsion to Asar Cicely Tyson from that place. May this soul go in with the favor of Asar, the eternal soul, the supreme one, and may it come forth with gladness at being accepted as being truthful, honorable, and just in the sight of God. Having been accepted in the house of God and becoming one with God, let the commands of Asar Cicely Tyson be performed in the house of Asar. May the commands of this soul be effective as those of God as are effective. May this spirit be glorified along with yours, God. And may there be found no fault of any kind in the soul of Asar Cicely Tyson, so let the balanced scales of justice be cleared, and may the trial of Asar Cicely Tyson be ended.
Hotep.
Hotep, that's how it's done. That's how it's done. Well, thank you for that, and we give thanks to the Most High. Last year, let's talk just a little bit about 2020 and how God blessed us. It was really trying for everybody, especially artists, but everyone, people in the restaurant business, people that's around the whole entertainment, which would be restaurants, it would be nightclubs, theaters. So we all, took a spanking, but fortunately, Eric Lilly of Buoyant Partners and his partner, Eric Rigaud, especially Eric Lilly, stepped up to the plate, babe.
Indeed. And we want to give a special shout out to you, Eric. So if you happen to be out there, we want to acknowledge how you altered the course and the momentum and the exposure of the Fannie Lou Hamer production by facilitating productions with the various organizations. And so we appreciate you making a way for the Fannie Lou Hamer story to be streamed on Xfinity, Comcast, and AARP, and other venues. We appreciate you, and we just want to acknowledge what you did for us, and we are internally grateful.
Yes, absolutely, and we just want everybody to know that's listening that may be interested in a Black Month, Black History Month play, the Fannie Lou Hamer story. We have a virtual production that we license, and if anyone is interested in it, you can call my assistant, Miss T. She's at the phone 24/7, 347-395-0259. Again, that's Miss T. 347-395-0259 at Healing Through the Sound of Music. So just, for the actresses out there and actors out there that, like myself, probably all have big dreams of being a star. And, I thought I was going to be the biggest singing star and the biggest movie star. And, somehow that didn't really happen yet. But according to my mom, I started singing when I was 6 months old. And I sang in the children's choir in my church, the Solid Rock Baptist Church in Paterson, New Jersey. And all I wanted, can you guess what all I wanted? Can you guess, babe?
I think sing. And yeah, that is exactly what you do for your namesake.
I want to be like Mahalia Jackson. And that's what they called me, Little Mahalia. Mm. My desire in my heart as a child was to be famous. And so I would listen hours on end to people like Smokey. I mean, Smokey. My girlfriend named me Mrs. Smokey Robinson when I was 13 years old.
That's funny.
Because
I used to sit on the, I can still see me now laying on the floor under the stereo. You know how it is with the little 45s, right? And I had my foot on my knee, you know, across my, and I would listen, and I would, I don't care about anything else but being with you, being with you.
Oh, oh now, look God. Out now. Well, there's, you know, our special guest is recognize that special gift that you have. And he's standing by in queue and ready for you.
Oh, wow. Is David here? Did his plane land?
Well, plane may not have land, but he's in the green room, the virtual green room, and he's awaiting your acknowledgement so that you all can share a second collaboration, in fact. The first of which, of course, is your 9/11 commemoration when he chose you to, as the only female vocalist to perform for the 10th year commemoration of 9/11. But along with that, David Eaton once again recognized your anointed voice and gift to touch the soul of the human being, to inspire. And he called upon you once again for this project that was rediscovered 21 years later after it was recorded. And I'll let you take it from there in sharing your story and who Mr. David Eaton is, your collaborator from the New York City Symphony Orchestra.
And the writer of Solin. David Eaton has been working professionally as a composer, conductor, and producer in New York City for over 40 years. He has been music director of the New York City Symphony since 1985 and has conducted the orchestra in numerous concerts at New York venues, including Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, the Manhattan Center, Harlem's Apollo Theater, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and the United Nations. He has appeared as a guest conductor with orchestras in Canada, Europe, Asia, and Central and South America. In addition to his conducting career, he has been a prolific composer and arranger. His compositions and arrangements have been performed by orchestras in Europe, Asia, Israel, South America, and in the United States. He is currently serving as an artist in residence in the Seo-Jung Cultural Foundation in South Korea, where he is developing a youth orchestra and a young adult orchestra. He has just finished writing a book on music entitled What Music Tells Me: Beauty, Truth, and Goodness, and Our Cultural Patrimony, due for publication in June. Please give my friend, my music associate, David Eaton, a beautiful round of applause for that beautiful piece you hear in the background. David, good morning.
Hello, Amzuri. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, David.
Well, thank you, and thank you for flying me in all the way from South Korea.
Oh, don't worry. It's on our private plane, darling.
Very good. You got to watch out for that carbon emission stuff these days, though. Be careful. But thanks for having me on, and congratulations to you and Jehudi for this launch of your Solin program. You know, starting any initiative is difficult. The first step is often the most difficult step, but you've done it, and congratulations, and I'm really honored to be on with you to share our vision. I think we share the same vision about music and how it can really be transformative, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, David, thank you so much. You're so welcome, and I thought about how long we've known each other, because when I did the Fannie Lou Hamer story for the first time, you were there, and it was at the New Eurekan. Do you know what year that was? That was in 2001, David.
That's right. And so
we had known each other long before that.
Well, that's right, because we did the Solon tune in 1999. So I think we met through our mutual friend, Juanita Pierre-Louis.
Yeah, my Reverend Juanita. Shout out to Reverend Juanita.
Yeah. That was probably 1997 or 98, somewhere around there. So it's been about 25 years.
I think so. Well, now that you mention Reverend Juanita, I want you to tell us about yourself and your involvement with the Family Federation for World Peace. That's really, and Reverend Moon, which, you know, a lot of people know it through that name because he was so famous back in the 70s, how he was doing all this incredible work.
Well, I met the Family Federation in 1974, and I wasn't necessarily a religious person at the time. Music was my religion, you know. Beethoven was the Messiah.
I get it.
and you know, his disciples were Franz Schubert and Robert Schumann and all those guys, right? But also, I played in rock bands and jazz bands, and so I had an extensive music background, and I was a music major at Ohio State University.
Jazz bands, David?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I grew up on jazz and big band because my dad was into that, you know, and so my first instrument was trombone because I loved the Tommy Dorsey band and the Glenn Miller band. They were trombonists, you know, so that was my first instrument. And then in college, I studied composition. And you mentioned your dream as a young girl, right? When I was in high school, my dream was to come to New York and be a symphony orchestra conductor.
And wow, you got your dream, David.
That's right. And it happened in the most circuitous way. But it was through my association with the Family Federation. And at the time, it was called the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. And there was a great vision for art and culture by Reverend Moon and his wife, Dr. Hakjahan Moon. And so I, after a couple of years of doing missionary work, I joined the performing arts department in the church and did all sorts of programs and with bands and orchestras. And then in 1985, I became the director of the New York City Symphony, which was a professional orchestra that was being funded through the International Cultural Foundation, which was one of Reverend Moon's initiatives to support the arts. And he's been a big advocate of the arts through the orchestra, through the development of the Manhattan Center, the Universal Ballet Company in Korea, many projects that Reverend Moon and now Dr. Hakjahan Moon are supporting. So I've been blessed, and like I said, becoming a symphony orchestra in conductor in New York was a dream, but it was through my faith, I believe in God, and the principles that of peace and love and unity that helped me get there. So it's been a very rewarding career. I haven't had a big career, but I've traveled the world and made music all over the place. And you and I have worked together, of course, in New York, but then we were in South America together, if you remember the concert we did, many years ago.
That was really beautiful. That piece that was playing behind you, what was the name of that?
Well, that piece, it's called a pavane, and a pavane is an old French dance form, but several different composers have written like symphonic pavanes, but that piece actually started, believe it or not, as a hip-hop classical jam with a friend of mine in New York, Steven Santiago, who's also known as Opera Steve. That's his hip-hop handle, Opera Steve. And we collaborated on this. I created this aria for him with hip-hop beats, and it had a rap in it. But then I changed it into a straight classical piece, and I performed it several times. And the Detroit Symphony performed it twice, and they invited me out a year to conduct it. So that's, you never know how, you know, God works in mysterious ways, you know. So you never
know. Oh, it's
so
incredible.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Solon and what your inspiration was for that.
Well, we did that in 1999, and I was asked by some producers of a conference that Family Federation was going to have in Washington, D.C., and they were inviting diplomats from around the world. And one of the guest speakers for that conference was Spokosia Kazibwe, who at the time was the vice president of Uganda. She was the first woman to hold high office in Uganda, right? And in doing some research about Ms. Kazibwe, I found out that she had a girls empowerment program. And anyway, the name of her empowerment program was Solon the Girl Child. And I love the idea of Solon. I wasn't exactly sure what it meant, but I liked the idea. I thought it was like, you wanted to find, young women need to find their true soul, right? So I approached the conference producers and I said, what if I wrote a song and we dedicate it to Miss Kazibwe and perform it at the conference? And they loved the idea and they put up a small budget to help us get into the studio and record it. And we did it at the conference, but nothing really came of the song, but the inspiration was to support Ms. Kazibwe's work in Uganda. And then last year, one of my daughters said, you know, Dad, you've done so many CDs for other people. Why didn't you do your own CD? And so I started going through a lot of my old material and I found that song. And I realized,
Wow, David.
It's a great song. And then I sent it to you. And I said, remember this? And so here we are talking about it. And you've got a whole radio show based on something we did 25 years ago.
Is that amazing? I mean, the creator never ceases to amaze. I mean, God never ceases to amaze. I am thrilled to have you here. I know that you're living in Korea because of COVID.
Yep.
Tell us how you, how long you've been there and how you're adjusting to the culture and a little bit about the culture. I'm into food. I mean, I want to know about the food. What's your favorite dish?
Well, you know,
I love food.
Korean barbecue is hard to beat, actually. You know, but
tell me, I didn't hear you, David. What did you say?
Korean barbecue is hard to beat.
Really?
Well,
what do they barbecue with, like pig?
Well, mostly beef and pork, you know. But they do it on open flame grills, you know. It's astounding.
Anyway,
about 4 years ago, it was 2016, Dr. Hak Jahanmoon, who is our founder here now, asked me if I would consider coming here to be an artist in residence to develop several music initiatives, including a youth orchestra program, young adult orchestra. We've done 5 international peace songwriting contests, or holy songwriting contests. Also, I've conducted a number of concerts with professional orchestras here for peace-related events. And initially, I would come here for 2 or 3 months and come back to the States and come back here for a couple months, come back to the States, because I had obligations and projects in back in New York that I was doing. But then in January of 2020, I came here to do a concert, do a couple concerts. But right around that time is when the COVID situation happened, right? And it happened in Korea, was the first, one of the first countries where it hit very hard, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. A lot of people got COVID. And was there a lot of fatalities?
There were 2 big mega churches, one in Seoul and one in Daegu, which is a city about 3 miles south of where I am, where they had these big festivals, you know, Christian music festivals, and there were outbreaks in the churches, and that's when it started in Korea. Fortunately, where I am, there haven't been hardly any cases. I'm a little bit farther outside the main city. I'm 30 miles about east of Seoul. But Korea was hit pretty hard, and there were a lot of restrictions. We had to suspend our youth orchestra program for a while. But because of travel restrictions, it wasn't easy to get back to the United States. So I've been here for about a year.
What is your wife doing without you?
Well, let's call her and ask her. But you know, I talk to my wife and my girls almost every day. We do Zoom calls, you know.
Wonderful.
So we're in touch all the time, and like what we're doing, and We stay in touch, and it's been a little challenging, but like you said, for a lot of people have had a lot worse than we've had it. And, you know, in the arts community, you mentioned the arts community. I have a lot of friends who play in, you know, the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and different groups in New York, and it's really a tough time. And, hopefully things will get better and we can get back to doing music important level, and you know, especially this idea that you have of using art and music and culture to build bridges, to bring peace. Mrs. Moon has this idea. She said, people think that politics changes the world. That is not the case. It is art and culture that change the world, because when people's minds and hearts are opened through art and beauty, they can receive new thoughts. And through art and music, people can quickly have, you know, a different mind, you know, a different heart about things. And Leonard Bernstein said that long ago. He said, art can't change events, but it can change people. How you
absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he said, it can change how you act, and it can change how you vote. So he was kind of an activist in that regard. I know you're a big voter activist.
Yes, well, Fannie Lou Hamer, my play, the Fannie Lou Hamer story, that's what it's all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair representation.
Yep.
And we all need that. If you don't have anything else, you need fair representation.
That's right.
So, yeah, I wanted to ask you, David, before you leave, we're starting to wind up. What is your project about the book, Beauty, Truth, and Goodness?
Oh.
When is that coming out?
Well, I've been working on it for almost 10 years, actually. It's a collection of essays that I've written going back 10 years. And my oldest daughter is in the process of doing the copy editing right now. The book is essentially finished. But, you know, as I studied music and the cultures, the ancient cultures of China or Greece or the early Christian culture, the early Hebrew culture, I found that all these cultures placed a great deal of importance on what could be called the moral and ethical aspect of art and culture, that they understood, like people like Confucius and Plato and Aristotle and St. Augustine, they understood that art can change people. So the question became for artists living in those communities, how do you use your art in the most responsible way? So my book is largely about that, in examining the past cultures, their values regarding art and culture, and that we assess art aesthetically, you know, beauty, and through truth,
right.
but
right.
also through goodness, which is the moral aspect. Do we use art and our creative abilities in a moral and ethical way? And all cultures have dealt with this, you know, and so because we know. Art and culture changes people. Beauty
Absolutely.
Changes people. So
Absolutely.
how we use it becomes a very important point. And that's something I've been an activist about. Even before I met the Family Federation, you know, the idea of music for peace was something that I was, I thought a lot about, you know. And so my association with Reverend and Mrs. Moon and the organization, I know they're controversial people, but what they're promoting is not controversial.
And not at all. Not at all. Family? Oh, no. That's what we need.
Yes.
We need. That's exactly what we need. The world needs
Smokey,
it.
You mentioned Smokey Robinson.
My idol.
There is a great poem that he does. You can Google it, called Being a Black American. And he talks about many of the things you talk about.
Oh,
and he's a brilliant poet. You know, he's a brilliant poet.
He's a brilliant songwriter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Smokey.
And like, he makes the point that, you know, and he says, in this day and age, you can be sure that none of us have a bloodline that's pure. You know, mixed races have been going on for forever. So in a sense, we're all brothers and sisters, you know. And we're in Black History Month, right? So Dr. King said, you know, we have to learn to treat each other as brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we'll kill each other as fools, like that, you know. So that's an important point.
Well, David, we are winding down now. It has been truly a pleasure. I wish I could have met you in Korea, you know, maybe I will fly in on my private jet and we'll go out for lunch, even though I won't be eating the barbecue, but we can find some barbecue vegetables or something. But it has been an absolute pleasure. Can't wait to see you back in the U.S. And we're going to play a little bit of Solin. I'm going to scratch my own back. I am the lead vocal in this song, and David Eaton is the writer and the composer, the lyrics, the music. And it was my absolute pleasure to have you on tonight. David, would you please come back again?
Yeah, anytime, Emsuri, anytime.
Well, Solin is what we're doing here, y'all, every Thursday night, 7 p.m., and we love you. So come back, visit us when you got the time. It's our time. We're Solin with Jehudi and Emsuri. Peace and blessings. Thank you, David.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.